Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
I guess it took Ole Miss football, putting on full pads for the first time in fall camp to get Bradley Sowell, former Ole Miss offensive lineman, 8-year NFL vet, back on Talk of Champions by popular demand. Where have you been? And welcome back.
What's up, man? I don't think this is all my fault. I think it's both of our faults. But yeah, it's I've been crazy, man. Busy, moved all over the place. So yeah, but moved to Jackson. For all my Jackson people listening, does it always rain this much in Jackson? My gosh, I feel like I live in Florida. But yeah, we're exciting times. Ole Miss football, back in the fold. Excited to get back on here and talk some football.
Where have you been as far? Like you say, it's partly my fault too. But just let the people know. How many times have I texted you, hey, when are we podding again? Oh, we'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it the next day. So when I say, where have you been? I'm not saying, hey, where are you physically right now? I'm simply saying, as far as Ole Miss starting football, I have not heard enough from you, Brad, because Ole Miss is back playing football again, and this is the first time we've talked about it together? Well, publicly, but still.
Yeah, no, dude, like I said, crazy busy, freaking moved, up and moved. Anytime you move to an area you're not familiar with, it's a lot that goes into it. But anyways, aside from that, it's, exciting times. Ole Miss football coming back. Seems like we got a lot of talent. Seems like we got a lot of talent that they're trying to sort through, and should be a fun camp to keep following.
Well, from all the people you've talked to, coaches, players, whoever it might be, what's the biggest takeaway you've had from the first couple of weeks of practice?
I think they're just all eager. They're all eager to keep on trying to piece this thing together. I think there's a ton of talent. And I've heard from multiple coaching staffs, especially in reference to our running back, hey, Ole Miss is going to win games because of their running back. Apparently this Evans kid is that elite. This is coming from multiple staffs. Apparently that he is that good. So excited to see that. I just think that the main common theme is, hey, very excited to get out there and kind of piece it all together. The quarterback competition obviously is a big thing to watch as well. But I think they're going to do a good job of really covering up both these quarterbacks and really try to run the ball a lot more than we did before.
A lot of people listening right now have been listening to us talk about Ole Miss football for a long time, multiple years now, right? And they know, it's no secret, you weren't a huge fan of Jerrion Ealy as a player. Not that you didn't like him, you just thought he was more complimentary, maybe not that every down guy or that five-star prospect or that NFL prospect that a lot of people thought him to be. He goes undrafted, by the way. Then Snoop Connor, you loved him. You wanted him to be the lead guy. He's now with the Jaguars. How is Zach Evans different? Or is he kind of a combination of both of them? Even though they have guys behind him like Ulysses Bentley and Kentrell Bullock and Quinshon Judkins, the true freshman who's been really good so far, that could step in and take carries and be productive. Why, though, is Zach Evans different? Or how can he be an improvement upon what Ole Miss had?
Well, I think two things that have popped out in conversation with coaches is runs extremely hard, elite speed, not just fast. Apparently, this kid has got elite speed. So, anytime you put that combination together, most guys have either or. One guy maybe pretty fast but doesn't really run super hard. Kind of my thoughts on Ealy, or one guy runs really hard and just doesn't have that super speed, which is kind of like Snoop. Both were solid backs at Ole Miss. Just I don't think that they were, the home run guy, the all around back. And it sounds like this Evans kid is that. I'll be excited to see. I'm not going to say I can't say that I've seen him live, so I'm not going to put that on him. But I know just in talking to to multiple staffs about the kid. People seem to think that with our O-line being the way they are, decent on paper, had a lot of returning experience in that lineup, and with the way he runs the ball, he should keep Ole Miss in all the games, apparently.
Well, the thing about Lane Kiffin, and he said it multiple times before, is that it doesn't matter about who he has. He's always – like, the system can evolve. It can adapt to what the personnel is. It's not one of those systems that we're recruiting to a particular system. This is what we run. This is what we do. It's always constantly adaptable and evolving. So if it's constantly evolving, and we remember when they had Elijah Moore, they featured the hell out of Elijah Moore. Last year was a lot more balanced, but Dontario Drummond, Braylon Sanders, Jerrion, Snoop to an extent, they're different guys that were those guys that they built the offense around. If Zach Evans is the player that they determine is that dude that they're going to build the offense around, tailor their offense to, adapt their offense to, how does the offense look different?
Well, I think, obviously it's going to be more run heavy. And I think that, you're going to see a lot more play action type stuff. You're going to want people to think you run the ball. I think you line up and, you be a little bit hard-headed, so to speak. You may have to run on third down like you did last year more. You may try to take the pressure off these quarterbacks. So, and I think to that point, you're going to see a huge adaptation in the offense, because last year we really didn't have that tight end. And this year you got Trigg. I think you're going to see a lot more of the plays you saw when Yeboah was there, but to an even more extent, I think you're gonna see a lot more running, a lot more, tight end, specific plays. And, I think having a run game will, if you're going to be strong anywhere, having a great run game is the way to do it right now with the way our quarterbacks are. I mean, both guys are very talented, but neither have gotten there and proved themselves in the game. So what better way to take the pressure off of them than, hey, I know I can line up. I'm going to run, my first 15 plays. When you script a game, you usually come out with your first 15 plays and everybody kind of knows, what's the first 15. Well, hey, my first 15, if 10 of those are some form of a run, a zone scheme run, some kind of misdirection, and then a couple nakeds in there where my quarterback's on the run, well, he gets 15 plays to get into the game. And the really only time he should have to throw, super long would be third down. So, having a run game like that is something that can really benefit these quarterbacks.
Well, you brought up Trigg, and you and I were there step by step the entire recruitment process, Trigg and Dart. And you kind of got out in front with all the issues or the small hiccup, whatever we want to call it, that delayed their arrivals at Ole Miss. But they're here now. And Michael Trigg is kind of in a tight end battle, starting competition battle with Casey Kelly. And Casey Kelly is not the talent as far as just raw athletic ability as Michael Trigg. We all agree on that. But Casey Kelly has been in the system a while. He's not going to just give it up. And right now, Michael Trigg is running number two to him, which is pretty fascinating once you think about the recruiting pedigree and the effort and financial resources used by Ole Miss to bring him in with Jackson Dart, who's also wrapped up in a quarterback battle, as we all know, with Luke Altmyer. And I want to hear what Brad has to say about that too, on the record, because off the record, we've said some things, but I want to know what you think on the record. But Michael Trigg running second to Casey Kelly. We've heard a lot about the blended family stuff from Lane Kiffin. He's talked about culture and working all these new guys in together and bringing them together. And we kind of discount that because talent is talent is talent. But there's been some rumors out there that Michael Trigg is kind of had a little bit of an adjustment period as far as adapting to his new place and not falling in line, but the full-on buy-in that you want from all aspects of your team that you never get completely. But Michael Trigg, do you think it's more Casey Kelly being better than we thought, or really providing that competition that maybe people were not giving him enough credit for with Michael Trigg? Or Michael Trigg, look, man, we're kind of sending you a message. You got to settle in. You got to like buy in here. What do you think that's more of, him running the second team?
I just think the way you look at this is they're two different players. They're both going to have totally opposite roles. And I can certainly see Kelly starting, and if we're going to be a run heavy team, you're not going to put Trigg in there to do all the dirty work and block. So, every good team has that kind of, hard-nosed tight end that can block and kind of get, gets you over the first couple downs. And, may could catch a few passes. I'm not saying Kelly can't catch a few passes, but whenever it's, third downs on the line, I can assure you, you're going to have Trigg, out wide or in the slot or running the seam, so to speak. And that's just the way it goes. He's not, I don't think Trigg is ready to be an every down tight end. He's too skinny right now, in my mind. But you know, I think the plan would be in the next 2 years or so, maybe he gets to that. But yeah, I mean, you can't just think that he's going to be a the only tight end out there. Kelly's an older guy. He's a veteran. He's gonna certainly have his role. But you know, when it comes down to it, if we're at third down, you're gonna have Trigg in the game, ready to catch a pass.
Yeah, because you're going to match him up against linebackers and whoever else he's.
Yeah, and that also keeps him fresh too. I mean, do you really need Trigg to do a whack block and come and try to cut a DN?
No, Kelly's better than him at that right now. I mean,
there's no question there.
And
it's not like Kelly can't catch it. That's the cool thing about it. Kelly can still go get some of the intermediate stuff. But when we're trying to stretch the field, it's going to be Trigg in there. You know, one thing that I did see mentioned in an article not the other day, and I said this before, nobody has really put any stock into this, but I've said this because I've played in different locations across the U.S. The heat is a real issue. And I thought that coming in, I was like, man, I can't wait to see Dart in the summer. Trigg in the summer, you know, it's gonna be a real adjustment for these guys. And I think I said this on a pod, when they're first coming in, that's a real thing, man. Like this Mississippi heat and training camp, I can assure you, is much different than a West Coast training camp. I've been in one in Seattle. This heat, it can make you cower down a little bit at times. And if I had to guess, both those guys are really, really struggling with that and really struggling to get used to that. It does take a while to get used to that kind of heat.
All right, so 2 weeks in, not full 2 weeks, but the second week of fall camp is what Ole Miss is in now, first day of full pads. Where are you right now in the Ole Miss quarterbacks?
You know, man, I think it's the same. I'm going to try to make the scrimmage this weekend so I can give a real fair assessment. I've just kind of seen, just like everybody else, I've kind of seen articles, talked a little bit with some people. I still think it's pretty even. I think you have this. I think you have one player that's been here a little bit longer that is playing the game, safer and playing a little bit, he's not going to take the big risk. Whereas you got a mega talent like Dart, who's a little bit wild. Probably if I had to guess, he's probably getting a little better. He's probably getting a little more comfortable. Your hope is someone like Dart can play the game correctly, take what's given to him, essentially manage the team without taking massive risk and fatal risk that causes you to lose the game. And that's what you want to see. It's no knock on Altmaier. He's a solid player too, but I think if you look at the actual arm talent of Dart, you look at, what his upside, what his ceiling is, you're hoping that works out. But if not, hey, I have a quarterback that can win games. I don't see a Luke Altmaier going into a big SEC stadium in a big meaningful game winning that game for us. I just don't. I think it takes.
But why? Because like if you call Jackson Dart, and I'm not stumping for either one of them, I don't care. I just want the best player to get the job and for Ole Miss to win as many games as possible. Because I said you weren't on the podcast a week or so ago, but after that first practice when I walked out there, because I've gone out there on the first day of camp for 15 years. It's some crazy amount of time now. In the first day of practice, I've never been more impressed with the look of a team as far as, all right, if the goal is make it to Atlanta, make it to the SEC championship game in Atlanta, I've never walked out of a practice, the first practice of fall camp, and just gotten a general, very anecdotal look at a team and said, man, that's the best looking team. Yes, I feel most confident about that team. If at the end of the year you said they're going to end up in Atlanta, I feel the most confident about this team than any team, and that includes Laquan and Laramie and Rob and them, just as far as the depth of talent, right? And how many dudes they have at each spot. Now, there are a few that you could nitpick like linebacker, but really, like, the look of this team is totally different than other teams because they did such a good job in recruiting, especially the transfer portal. And you say, like, Jackson Dart, it's all contingent on the quarterback is why I bring that up. And you say Jackson Dart is a mega talent. Well, then what is Luke Altmaier? And are we discounting him, right? Are we discounting his actual talent and what he can be just because there is a little bit of recency bias or recruiting bias or whatever, USC bias from Jackson Dart and his pedigree and having played more in actual games than Luke, who only got the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, I'm just looking at body type, look at the pop on the arm. I just think Dart just is better in that aspect. Now, that doesn't say Luke can't win games. Don't get in there and people think I don't like Luke Altmyer. I definitely like him. But when it comes to beating in Alabama, when it comes to being in a team that's going to roll out elite athletes, I just feel like you're hoping Dart works out. Now, if he doesn't, and I want to be proved wrong. I was wrong about Matt. Heck, I mean, I didn't think Matt Corral was going to be the way he was, ended up being, because based off what I saw. And that's what I'm doing with Luke, based off what I've seen. I mean, is he a good player? Yeah. But Luke Altmyer is going to need a lot of players around him as well. And I think it just in my observation of both of them throwing and the way they move, I just think Dart looks the better part. He looks like he has more of the it.
All right. In team play today, Jackson Dart was 1 for 5, with the completion being a swing pass to running back Kentrell Bullock. This is from Chuck Ronsival, my coworker at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and PhilipOn3.com. His practice report, he does daily practice reports, the most comprehensive practice reports on the internet about Ole Miss and fall camp practices. So check it out. Sign up for a sub right now to the Ole Miss Spirit. You get, a month for $1 and a year for 10. I mean, it's ridiculous. So sign up right now and you get all this good stuff. But in team play today, Jackson Dart, 1 for 5. His completion was a swing pass to Kentrell Bullock, the running back. Luke Altmyer was 4 for 7. Long touchdown to J.J. Henry. And as Chuck writes, in Dart's defense, he had 2 7-on-7 periods today when he seemed to be very comfortable and completed a high percentage of passes. But at some point, even if you call him the mega talent and you say he's just dripping with raw athletic ability, look what he did at USC. When does production just – you have to go with it? You know, like you have to go with the one that is doing it. 1 for 5 isn't going to cut it, right? And not to say 4 for 7 is necessarily better, because that one could be a long touchdown, while this 4 could be 4 completions that result in 14 yards. I get that. But at what point is production the determining factor rather than what he could be if he's not doing it? Does that make sense?
How much stock can we put in 1 for 5 in a practice drill? Where here's what you have to listen to. Okay, so I have been through thousands of football practices, and I can assure you there's certain drills where I can't block people because of what the drill is, and there's certain areas of the day that are much tougher. Now, when you are out there, and both the offensive and defensive coordinator has a script, they're calling certain plays because they want the quarterback to see certain looks. Practice is so hard to keep a stat on. Okay, how many times? So there are certain periods in the day where you line up and it's like third down. It's blitz period. Okay, you do 12 straight blitzes. There will never be a time in the game where you have 12 straight third downs with blitzes coming. Okay, now that's why it's so hard to put a stat in practice. Now, did they line up in scrimmage and neither the offensive or defensive coordinator had a script? Give me those stats. Give me those stats when you don't have every play scripted by what every defense is being ran. Give me the stats when they play an actual raw game, and that's the ones that are going to matter the most. And I'm not saying either or is going to be better at either, but I don't give two craps what their stats were in a drill. I care what they do whenever both teams are evenly calling plays without the other, scripting it. So, I mean, it could have been a period where, hey, Dart's in there for these first 10 plays. We're going to give him all the blitz he's really struggled with the most, so to try to get him better. And he may look like crap in those, but, hey, whenever he goes back to film, he's going to learn from those blitzes. And when he actually gets it in the game, maybe he executes it. So practice, it's there for a reason. It's there to evaluate the talent. It's there to make players better. So when it counts when you get out there on Saturday, you make it count.
This is why I missed you, man. You can contextualize a practice report. See, you can't do the whole disappearing thing. I know you're busy, but you can jump on with your friend Ben and all your Ole Miss fans that love you and your friends from Ole Miss. They can listen to you break down something. Because like when a average person, a normal person who isn't consumed with football all day, every day, they read that in a practice report, they go, oh man, Luke Altmyer was better, but not necessarily.
I mean, it is what it is. It's just one of those things where the only way we're going to find this battle, and people have to realize this, the only way this thing's going to get settled is on the field, is in an actual game when one of them get hit in the freaking mouth in a big game. Which one can lead the team down the field? Which one? I mean, you look at Matt Corral, what he did all last year. I mean, the dude was just absolutely relentless. Like, he was great in the games. I mean, he was great under pressure. I mean, he was a gamer, dude. He really was a gamer. That's what it's going to come down to. I mean, it's going to sort itself out. I don't give a crap what these guys are doing in practice versus teams that know each other. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. You can see the talent.
Uh-oh, you know, are you getting arrested?
Dude, what in the ever-living shit?
No, we got to keep recording. We're not going to stop recording. This is great.
I mean, that's a full-on tornado. So I hear again in Jackson.
Oh, it's a tornado. I thought it was like a cop.
To my people in Jackson, is this Florida? Like, good grief. But anyways, so yeah, it's going to get sorted out. My point is, it's going to get sorted out in the games. And it may take us a couple of games because we have a week schedule to start. But when we get in that SEC play, you're going to know as a fan, you've watched a lot of games. People watch a lot of games. It's going to show up which one can actually play in the game. And if it's Dart, it's Dart. If it's Altmyer, it's Altmyer. It's going to be one of them. But it's going to have to be sorted out on the field in an SEC game or in a big football game, and you're going to know which one has that it and which one doesn't. I don't care that the defense coordinator scripting a blitz that's confusing Jackson Dart versus the perfect play call or versus whatever. Like, it just that's irrelevant then.
So what you're saying, and if I'm wrong, you can tell me, is there's no way a starting quarterback is named in the next couple of weeks. This is going into the season. So the questions about, all right, how the quarterbacks look today, just give it up. It's not going to be settled anytime soon. They're not going to settle it until games are played.
What I would say is they may announce one, but that's going to be etched in pencil. You know what I mean? Like, it could be, you could announce one. And listen, I've seen these players, man. I've seen multiple players that are unreal in practice, but they ain't crap in the game. It's unbelievable. Like, it is definitely a thing. So what I'm saying is, whoever they name, don't put a ton of stock in it, because the battle was going to go on until one of the guys gets in the game and makes it impossible for Kiffin to pull them out. Where it's like, yeah, hey, I'm throwing 300 yards this week and four touchdowns, and hey, I still suck in that blitz drill in practice, you know. But when the game comes, it's on. So that's how it's going to get sorted out, you know. And if they both get in the game and they're dead average, well, it's a time to move on. It's time to get a transfer guy or something. So it'll be sorted out in time.
And the thing that Ole Miss has got the benefit of is a soft-ish early schedule to where you're afforded this benefit of playing both guys if you need to. Yeah, it's not like you're starting in Atlanta against Boise or whoever it might be.
And that's the hope. The hope is we build some confidence and get some game experience, and we get that swag. Okay, hey, I feel good about it. And then, you know, obviously you're going to step into some tougher games, but you really want to get in there and get comfortable and kind of let these guys find themselves, so to speak. I think it will sort itself out. That's why I've been watching it, but I haven't been putting a ton of stock into either or. Like, I don't care who they roll out there. I just want to win games, honestly. Like,
the same way. I don't care who it is. Just,
yeah, I really don't either. I do not care. I think, you know, I think one's got a little bit more, you know, athleticism and talent, and the other is, you know, seems to be playing
more cerebral is Luke Altmyer. How about that? Cerebral.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. He just, I don't know. It'll sort itself out. And whoever it is, you know, I'll definitely support. And you know, if it's Luke Altmyer, I guess I'll get a Luke Altmyer jersey. So I feel like I owe it to him.
Okay. That's got to happen. If Luke Altmyer wins this thing, first game he starts, you got to wear it to an old Miss. You have to show up and vault him away.
As soon as Luke Altmyer steps and beats an SEC team and balls out, I'll put on an Altmyer jersey for show.
Okay. All right. It's like the Kool-Aid shirts you wore to Omaha. Same kind of thing.
And here's the sad part. I'll be wearing Altmyer jersey for the next – I'll have to wear the Altmyer jersey for like 3 years if he's really good too. That's the bad part. So.
Well, with Jackson, it'll have to be too. He ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. It'll all play itself out.
I know. I think that you just need to stick with the Kool-Aid shirt that you wore to Omaha, because now that became a thing and we were like the Kool-Aid guys – and they won a national championship, why would you take it? It's like wearing a lucky sock when you're going to play games, or wearing my lucky jock strap. You can't take the Kool-Aid thing off. You got to see if like it extends to football.
But is that baseball specific, or do you think we put it into football as well?
No, we put it into football. Of course we can. It's been a thing around Ole Miss. You know, the Ole Miss spirit, we're Kool-Aid. But I've never agreed with that. I pushed back against that. But it's fine. During the national championship, I did not handle myself in a professional manner. I fully acknowledge that. After Ole Miss won a national championship and I went down on the field, you could not you could have not picked me out of all the other people celebrating. And everybody else, you know, in the media, my buddies, Nick Suss and all them, they're very professional with their MacBooks in their hands and their ties, and they're just standing there very stoically. And I'm bouncing around like a big idiot. So what I'm saying is the Kool-Aid thing, definitely I leaned into it, you leaned into it, but they won the national championship. It's not baseball specific. It's just, oh, the Ole Miss spirit can be a little Kool-Aid-y. Oh, sure, but this is supposed to be stupid and fun. So what I say is, let's just extend it on into football. And if in football you commit to the Kool-Aid stuff again and they win a national championship, that's the shit of legend, man.
Could you imagine if Ole Miss football won a national title?
No.
Listen, I had so much fun baseball. Not only did I become much poorer by having going on that trip, I had a damn good time. I really did. I mean, and football, I don't even know. I mean, because that path is that's a brutal path. But yeah, that would be a celebration for the ages.
If you haven't already, subscribe, rate, review Talk of Champions in iTunes. And when you do, leave a 5-star review. It doesn't matter what you say. As long as it's 5 stars, this podcast can be found wherever you get your podcasts. Just simply search Talk of Champions. And Talk of Champions is brought to you in part by Thomas Chandler of Capital Financial Group. When's the last time you thought about retirement? What about saving for your kids' college? In these crazy economic times, working with a professional is of the utmost importance, and that's where my friend Thomas Chandler comes in. Thomas is a financial planner with Capital Financial Group, and he wants to help you make the right decisions for your financial future. So give him a call today at 662-296-0186. That's 662-296-0186, and tell him that Ben sent you for a no-cost consultation and get started toward financial independence today with Thomas Chandler of Capital Financial Group.
Your Ole Miss baseball Rebels are national champions. Yes, that really happened. Your eyes did not deceive you. And what better way to celebrate since we all spent way too much money getting to and back home from Omaha than with a new car? Well, the only place to buy a car in Oxford, Mississippi is Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. From new and used sales to parts and service, Allen Samuels of Oxford aims to provide a truly stellar automotive experience. And what separates Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford from every other dealership is they aim to address each of your needs with the utmost respect, care, and attention to detail. They'll get you in the car you want at a price point that you can afford. Give them a call today, 662-234-8000. Ask for Brian or Mason to tell them Talk of Champions sent you, because now Talk of Champions actually makes sense. Ole Miss baseball won a national championship, and they'll get you in your dream car with your Ole Miss Omaha magnet planted right there on the driver's side door. They're located at 2201 East University Avenue in Oxford. That's 2201 East University Avenue. That's just past Kroger. Contact them today, 662-234-8000. That's Allen Samuels, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram of Oxford, a proud sponsor of the national champion Talk of Champions podcast.
BNA Bank is celebrating 125 years of local banking. For generations, BNA Bank has been a stable fixture in Northeast Mississippi, supporting and investing in our local small businesses, local schools, local community events, local charities, and so much more. At BNA Bank, we believe in our local communities, businesses, and organizations because we are a local business, too. Thank you for choosing to bank local with BNA Bank.
Here in Oxford, Mississippi, golf matters. For the Ole Miss Rebels, the casual looking to knock out a quick 18. Yes, we care about the fit when we hit the course, and PXG Apparel has something for everyone. Me? You Talk of Champions listeners know I'm a daily hat wearer, and especially at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has mastered a snapback for any type of weather or occasion. My navy goes with pretty much everything. Point is, PXG has you covered for any and all golf attire, making sure the fit is right in all the right places. Made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from a round of golf to the office to a night on the square. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. There isn't much better than spring turning to summer in Oxford, Mississippi.
double-decker, the Grove Bowl, concerts at the Lyric in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, beer showers in right field at Swayze. And don't worry, Tecovas is here to make sure your fit is right as you're stepping out on the square during this festival-style season. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store today. Shop new styles with a complimentary drink on the house. Many Tecovas stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. There's just no in-store experience quite like it. And if you can't make it to a store, that's okay. Check out Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. Tecovas offers free shipping on all boots, free returns and exchanges too. And they ship right to your door. Head over to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Look at what they did on the square when Ole Miss baseball won a national championship. And I know that baseball is the number two sport at Ole Miss. Still, multiply that by 10, 100, and that's what it would be like. They would be packing the square. It wouldn't just be the square. They'd be going all the way down University Avenue. I mean, you'd have to do the parade starting at like Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford and then roll that thing on down University, take a right, go. I mean, it'd be insane.
And I think you would even have state fans dressed in Ole Miss clothes.
Just or you'd have state fans there just to be a part of it and also to be cynically a part of it.
How did we get off on Ole Miss winning a national title? Oh boy.
Because Kool-Aid.
I mean, good.
Never going away. Why not?
August 9th, and we're talking Ole Miss winning a national title. We haven't even decided who the quarterback is yet.
Hold on. It's August 9th, 2022. That's objectively true. However, all right, Ole Miss in a major sport, in baseball, the sport that probably frustrated you, at least in the 2000s, more than even football, has won a national championship. So if anything is possible, why not? What else are we going to talk about? Yes, Jackson Dart and Luke Altmyer in a quarterback competition, but it's nothing. You admitted it. Nothing is changing right now.
Let's do this then. What has to happen for Ole Miss to do that? Oh, what exactly has to go right for Ole Miss to win that national title?
Jackson Dart or Luke Altmyer have to be not Matt Corral, but Matt Corral light, because I feel like this group and these quarterbacks have more talent around them than Matt did. Is that crazy?
No, I say the quarterback has to be like essentially blow our mind. That's number one.
Oh, so you think they have to be like Matt? They have to be.
Yeah, no, they have to be like Matt. They're going to be like Matt, I think. And secondly, we have this randomly nobody even talked about this defense that was top 10 in the nation in turnovers and yards, random top 10 defense with a Matt Corral type quarterback. And it's just like, and you know what's crazy is I love the defense coordinator. I love his attitude. Like, he's kind of giving me those vibes of like, all right, like we're going to have a really tough defense again. I hope I'm right about that. But that's kind of what the way I'm feeling. I'm like, man, this dude's kind of got some, I think he can get these guys ready. And if you look at the talent across the board over there, I feel kind of good about that.
Well, since we're pumping Kool-Aid, you want to hear a hot take? I'm not saying the top end is the best it's ever been. I could pick out some dudes that play defense for Ole Miss. I'm not saying the top end is as good or the best it's ever come. But top to bottom, the depth of options that Ole Miss has defensively, that defensive coordinator Chris Partridge has at his disposal, is the best Ole Miss has ever had defensively. Top to bottom. I'm not saying the top end is – if you took the best players, let's say DeAndre Prince – Cedric Johnson, Jared Ivey, I don't know, Kari Coleman, Ashanti Seastrong, AJ Finley, pick your guys. I don't think they're as good as Mike Hilton or Cinquez Golson in his 10-11 interception season when he was an All-American. Top end, maybe it's not that. It's not. But depth of options, Ole Miss has never had this kind of depth. It would be J.J. Pegues was brought in, and he's a no-doubt slam dunk starter. And right now he's running with K.D. Hill. They would have found a way to put both of them on the field, and they have other options at defensive tackle, so those guys can compete. And defensive end, they've got options. Jared Ivey's not guaranteed anything, even though he's a productive player coming from Georgia Tech. Kari Coleman at linebacker, same thing. In the secondary, they have never had this many good players that could play, really play in a game in the secondary. There are no Cliff Colemans. No disrespect to Cliff Coleman. You're the first name that popped in my head. But Cliff Coleman played a lot of snaps, and he's not necessarily SEC quality. And if you look at the fourth cornerback at Ole Miss right now is Davison Igbinosin. Davison Igbinosin, if you watch him, there are three players that I knew immediately, four players immediately, they were going to be NFL players. Laremy Tunsil, Laquan Treadwell, Tony Connor, and Nick Brazel. We know what happened with Nick. We know what happened with Tony, but the other two ended up in the pros. Davison Igbinosin looks like a pro. He has that look. So if he's your fourth cornerback, the depth of options are just different.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the depth is certainly there. It's a matter of who's I'll be interested to see who kind of like steps up and is like that guy. You know what I mean? Like, we have a bunch of guys who we think are going to be that guy. But I'll be interested to see. I think the secondary is pretty impressive, man. I remember years when Ole Miss secondary would be like the worst thing you've ever seen in your life. And like this year, I'm like, dude, we have guys for days back there that are really good players. So it'll be cool to see him piece it all together. But anyway, I mean, again, my point is if we're going to win a national championship, which I mean, we are getting off in the weeds. I mean, we are gallons deep of Kool-Aid here. We're talking about national
championships. I haven't talked to you on a podcast.
I'm just saying we're talking about national championships. What Ole Miss has to do to win a national championship. This is great. I totally appreciate this.
Ole Miss baseball is a national champion. Anything is possible. Mike Bianco led Ole Miss baseball to a national championship with no doubt, inarguably, not one of his best teams.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
So that's what he won 10 of 11 in the postseason. Anything's possible.
If Ole Miss wants to win a national championship, the quarterback is going to have to be a lot better than any of us ever thought, and the defense is going to have to be top 10-ish.
I disagree. I think they only have to be that good in, like, the Alabama game.
Well, we're talking about winning a national championship, so you're going to have to be very good. Once you get – I mean, Alabama, really all of them are going to – all the SEC games are going to be really good like that.
You have to get to Atlanta first. Then when you get in the playoff, you have to get to Atlanta first, and that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're going to have to get through some pretty – to win the national championship, you're going to have to get through some pretty elite competition.
Yeah, we're off in the weeds. I'm sorry. When Brad and I get together, the Kool-Aid shirts come on, and this is kind of what happens. First full day of pads, you went through many of these, especially at Ole Miss. Well, is there anything special, or do we kind of make it out to be more than it is? Do y'all look forward to it as players?
I particularly liked it just because it's a little easier for O-linemen. It slows down the D-linemen, and you got something to kind of hit and grab onto. I liked it for the simple fact that, you know, it's real football, and that's kind of, you know, there's some guys that are, like I said, really good in shorts, really good at 7-on-7 stuff, but, like, they really ain't that good when they get smacked in the mouth. And that was always my thing. Like, all right, I can't wait to use some physical ability and actually hit some of these guys. And, you know, kind of tire them down instead of them running over here in a t-shirt, running their 4.4. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I wish they would do full pads more than they do. I think it would benefit the O-line, you know, for sure. It takes O-line a lot longer to get acclimated to what they're going to have to be doing. You just simply can't get that look in you know, jerseys and, you know, with a bag. You know, I know you see all these 7-on-7 camps where kids are, you know, sitting upright with their hands, punting, like, dude, that's all bull crap. You gotta have them on your pads and play it out how it is. So yeah, I think it's, you know, people get a little nervous. The first couple of days are kind of, you know, whatever, you're kind of hyped up, you know, a little bit nervous, whatever. But then after you get going, I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty much the norm. You kind of get used to it.
Well, here's the thing about the practice stuff. It's the old football adage. We're blowing a hole in the old football adage that practice makes perfect. That's not true. If practice made perfect, Devin Thomas would be Adrian Peterson.
Oh, man. You bring up so many names of guys that I literally completely forgot about.
Yeah, yeah.
Devin was fine. He was stiff. He's just a little
stiff. He was really good in practice.
Yeah, that's how a lot of guys are. I'm knocking Devin. Dude, there's a guy, I won't name his name because he's actually on TV. He's unbelievable to block in practice. Like, he was unreal. Like, it was almost a running joke. He would get like 5 sacks of practice. And I think career, he had like 5 total, and he played almost 10 years or something crazy.
That maybe Carlton less than Martin?
That. No, I'm not. This guy, that Carlton Martin's not on TV.
I know. I can't put it together. No, this is an
NFL player. But yeah, you can't block the guy.
Oh, Emmanuel Ocho.
No, I'm not saying any name. Stop trying to pull a name out of me. He was just very hard to block in the game. He never sacked the quarterback ever. Anyways, my point is you know, the practice All-Americans is what you call them, or, you know, I want to see it in a game and in pads.
Has your opinion changed at all? Because you haven't got to see it in person enough, I guess, to really formulate an opinion. But has your opinion changed at all in the first 2 weeks of camp about what Ole Miss's record might be? Like, what was it going into camp and what is it now?
I'm still right where I was. I still think this is a 7 or 8 win team. And if things are better than we think, we could get back to 10. I think it's a 7 and 8 win team for two reasons. Two, one, our schedule is extremely – if we aren't 6-1 or 7-0 to start, then we have big issues. Yeah, we have big issues going into this, the real meat of the SEC schedule. And secondly, there's a lot of talent here, but this is their first year together. Now, if this team can win, you know, 9-10 games where they are right now, considering what all we're going to have back, considering what we're probably going to add, look out. Ole Miss will have – their expectations will be through the roof the following year, especially if one of these quarterbacks can step up and be the guy, and they're so young and you're looking like, okay, we have a sophomore quarterback next year and we won 10 games the year before. I mean, I think you're looking at some amazing times at Ole Miss, but in my mind, I think 7 or 8 wins would be a really good year. And then going into the next year, it's like, okay, we got almost everybody back. We have a whole bunch of talent. We have some young guys that'll be, you know, getting better. I know the offensive line room, you got some really good talent in there that's young. You know, then you're going to add some portal guys in there as well. And that'll just make it even that much better. But you know, I think 7 wins would be a good year and being very competitive in the big games. Because my thought is this season, solid. The next season, if all goes well and the development happens the way it should, I mean, Ole Miss should have really, really good expectations.
See, here's my thing. The way I view record predictions and forecasting the future of programs has completely changed. And the reason it's changed is because of the portal. If they pass this, there's the NCAA, that players can leave whenever they want to. There's no restriction. It's not just 1 year penalty free. Transfer whenever, however many times you want to. You have to start looking at it then on a year-by-year basis. You have to start considering roster construction on a year-to-year basis. So I can't even think about what Ole Miss is going to be next year. And, okay, well, if all this goes right, well, they'll be back next year. Not necessarily. If Jackson Dart isn't the starter every single game, he can leave and go to BYU. Luke Altmyer, same thing. Zach Evans leaves, goes pro. Ulysses Bentley says, you know what, this wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be. I'm going to leave. Well, now you're restarting every single year. It's year-to-year roster construction, and those transfer portal guys will be brought in to fill spots. Quinshon Judkins is getting rave reviews early in fall camp. He's also having to contend with Zach Evans, who you said is the best player potentially on this team, Kentrell Bullock, and Ulysses Bentley. So what if he doesn't get enough carries? He goes, you know what? I can get more dominant carries. I'm a good back by going and stepping in at Alabama. Not Alabama, but Auburn or maybe Mississippi State, whatever it might be. I can go back to one of these places and get more carries. So it could be. So if I look at this team and how it's constructed and what it can be, high end, it could go to Atlanta. And if it goes to Atlanta, we all know what comes with that. You win in Atlanta, you're probably getting the college football playoff. Now we're talking about that national championship that sounds so unrealistic because we're not used to Ole Miss football in that conversation. But year to year, under Lane Kiffin, this is what they've been. They've been content. I mean, they won 10 games last year. 10 games, we all just kind of sneeze at that. If Ole Miss won 10 games in 2012, we were throwing a parade for them in the square, just like the Ole Miss baseball team. And last year they win 10 games. They were like, I mean, they went to the Sugar Bowl. What else can they do? I feel like this team can match that, but you're right. It all comes back to the quarterbacks and which one emerges. I do think there's a little bit more room for error at quarterback for Jackson Dart and Luke Altmyer because the talent around them is better, especially on defense, keeping teams out of the end zone. Matt Corral wasn't afforded that luxury all that much. I mean, there are times when he had to win games, you know, 50-49. Yeah. So now, like, these quarterbacks have that. They have that luxury of knowing their defense can make stops and not everything falls to them in every single game. When Matt Corral went down in the Sugar Bowl, we all knew it was over. It was a wrap. And Luke Altmyer went in there and he played well. But Matt Corral was the entire program. I feel like this team is well equipped for it to get to Atlanta. But also, what the floor is for them, in my opinion, just like you said, 7-8 wins because of the schedule. So next year, we can't even think about next year. We don't know if Quinshon Judkins or whoever it might be, Davis Edigbenosin, who's balling out right now. If the NCAA changes this and allows anybody and everybody to leave whenever they want to, you have to go year by year. All right, what does Ole Miss football look like this year compared to last year? Because the names are going to change and the personnel, the coaches. I mean, both off seasons, Lane Kiffin's completely overturned his coaching staff. So I'm looking at singular years. That's how I focus on it. Singularly, this team, compared to the environment it's in, its schedule, all things considered, does it have a real chance? Yes, it does. It does. And that's why it's not ridiculous to say if things go right, Ole Miss can win a national championship. Of course it can. Of course it can, because look at the talent and all the things we've kind of laid out. Yes, some things have to go right, but they could not go right, and they don't do that. But if to say that or dismiss it outright or dismiss it offhand, I think would be kind of stupid.
Ben, I don't know what you're seeing at practice, but I'm excited to see it because, my goodness, dude, you are immersed. I mean, you are literally what I'd envision you talking right there, I'd envision you in a dunk tank full of Kool-Aid and literally, like, you're just your mouth was above it while you were talking right there. Like that, I mean, you are Rowdy. Literally making a point. I want to see these quarterbacks first. I would say 7 or 8 wins. You know, these guys don't have you look at their career stats. I'm not quite to the Atlanta yet.
Oh, no, I'm not either. I'm just saying they do have that kind of upside.
Here's the best part about this. Here's the best part about this is we're going to get out here and we're going to do the typical Ole Miss thing. This is great. I cannot wait for this. I'm going to do this year. I'm telling you right now. We are going to get out and we are going to destroy Troy, Tulsa, and some of these other teams. And in our minds, baby, we're going. We're going to Atlanta. You see how good we were? Like, and then we're going to go play. It never fails. We get Auburn, one of those other, and it's going to be like, oh boy. Okay, maybe we need to pull back a little bit. Now, don't worry though. The first 5 or 6 games though, I'm going to be like Ole Miss Natty. Don't worry. And then we're going to play a real team and we're going to look very normal. And we're going to be like, oh, man, just like this past year when we played Alabama. It was like, yeah, man, I think we beat him this week. We got him. Okay.
And Lane Kiffin takes off the headphones, flings them at the sideline.
Yeah, flings popcorn, whatever. Get your popcorn ready. Okay, yeah. It's 21-0. It's the first quarter. So I'm just trying to, you know, I'm in my head, I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to have a great time at the freaking Citrus Bowl this year. Like, it's going to be – that would be a big win for me.
Is it still
called the Citrus
Bowl?
That,
is it the Citrus Bowl? What are they called? I don't know.
Outback Bowl, let's go, baby. Bring it. Let's go. I'm going to Florida for this.
Well, here's the deal, though. If Ole Miss only wins 7 or 8 games, you can't take what they did this year and then forecast it to next year because they could be a completely different team is what I'm saying. Completely different.
You're right, but not everybody's going to transfer. Like, I mean, it's –
we don't know.
If you got a player that was good and produced, I mean, he should be back. Like a Dart. Can a Dart transfer again? If he can transfer again, then I quit. Like,
well,
I
that's mean, what I'm saying. The NCAA is considering, or if not inching closer and closer to, implementing anybody can transfer at any time rule.
Why?
It's the NCAA. They're reactive and they're petty and they're cynical and they suck.
Yeah, ruin college football. Congrats! Like,
yeah,
I mean, does people not enjoy the story of like, I get to follow a kid for 4 years and like he gets better, like he becomes a part of the program. Like, this is crazy.
Idea of an AFC and NFC, which is the SEC and the Big Ten, and free agency, the money's all that's not appealing to you.
No, not in college. It's not. That's not why you watch college football. I'm telling you, you're going to see it. It's already started to happen with Alabama and some of these other teams that are consistently in the top four. Now that money's involved, I mean, literally, like, who's won the women's national championship in basketball this year? UConn. I understand. Like, that's what it's going to be like every year. Okay, who's the four teams that are going to be in the playoffs? Okay, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be like that in football. It's going to get even worse. That's what's crazy. Why do they want that? Like, if that's the case, they should just literally make – you should connect it to the NFL and make
it – you're not thinking about the right way. The NCAA doesn't want this. They're being petty because they know – they just wanted to cling to power, right? So rather than actually be forward-looking and try to do things and implement policy and rules and stuff that would actually move the sport forward and address its issues in a positive and productive way – they just went, oh, y'all want transfers? Well, here, anybody can transfer. Oh, y'all want here? They're just being petty. And that's why the SEC taking a lead role in all this and the Big Ten too, to an extent, is important because the NCAA needs to go away completely. There needs to be guardrails on everything, not just players leaving, but also coaches' salaries, not necessarily caps, but my God, these have become ridiculous numbers that if I'd have told you back in 1995 that the head coach at Ole Miss was making $7 million, go, oh my God, what? What? That's absurd. That's absurd. It's Ole Miss is bigger than the blah, 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 blah. But really, Lane Kiffin is bigger than Ole Miss right now. He is the brand for Ole Miss. So everything we've considered to be what we cared about with college sports has changed. And the NCAA hasn't helped it, which it's supposed to do, because they're supposed to be the guardians of the game, but they're not. They're just a bunch of power-hungry, lame ass wipes that don't know how to do anything forward-looking at all. So there you go.
Yeah, I like it. Okay. Good point.
There you go. Well, it's good to hear from you. Hey, can you promise that, like, I won't hear from you for like a month? We'll do our next show. We can, like, do another one on Thursday.
Okay. Back two times a week. Let's go. We're back on. We're back.
You heard it. He just put it on record. That's a verbal contract. Verbal contract. Twice a week. So if you don't, I'm going to sue you for your golf simulator.
Hey, post game show this year. We should figure out if we should go live. Should we do the live post game show where we can do video, or do we do what we did last year?
Live video. Yeah, I think you and I immediately after a game that Ole Miss loses would be chef's kiss content.
Yeah, I'm known to say some things after a loss that I get pretty mad. I get pretty mad after
calling you. Hey, Brad, when do you want to record? Man, you need to give me like 40 minutes. Oh, I'm fired up. I'm angry.
Oh, I love it. I love it, man.
Yeah, we'll get you some. What are those stress balls that you can, or maybe one of those stress squishies, or the kids, they all use these poppets. Get you a poppet, calm you down, then we'll record.
I feel like every time I get around my dad, I'm just like mad. But sometimes, like, I look at him like, why? Why did you only bring us the Ole Miss games our whole life and get us emerged with this crap? Like, why? But that's what he did. So that's, you know, now I'm mad. Now I'm watching an Alabama fan.
Like, if you were raised an Alabama fan. Can you imagine? I guess everybody gets discontent, though. Even Alabama fans are like, oh, we got to get back and win one. Oh, my God. Ole Miss would just be thankful for one. You and I would die happy. We'd be fine.
Oh, man. Like, now you're sitting there mad. Like my wife don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, she looks at me. She's like, why? These are kids. Why are you mad? I'm like, I don't know. It's all I've ever done is get mad at games. Like, I get happy too. Don't get me wrong, but like, why is your day ruined because some 18-year-olds beat each other in college? Like, I don't know.
Ole Miss is a part of your identity.
Yeah, man. I know. It's just, yeah. Anyways, but a post game show. Our point is a post game show with raw emotion would be, would be interesting.
Well, twice a week, you've already agreed to it in a verbal contract, and then the post-game show, side-by-side, emotional ass Ben and emotional ass Brad. Whew.
Man, great. It should be another Blue Delta Jeans post-game show. We got to get Nick back on the horn and get us a BDJ sponsor.
That sounded dirty, even though it shouldn't have, but it did. BDJ.
The BDJs.
Let me get one of the BDJs. All right, that's it. He's Bradley Sal. I'm Ben Garrett. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk again.
See you, Ben. Hotty toddy.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.